I just want to pray before I start to talk and pray that the Spirit is with us and that we draw close to God. Lord Jesus, I thank you that when you died, you gave us the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that that Spirit is our comforter and our friend. And I pray as we speak and learn today that, Lord Jesus, you would bless us and give us revelation of your word. And by your Spirit, we would understand. Amen. Now, not many people can say that they're talking on a banner that has already been provided. Look at that. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. There it is. This is what we're going to be talking about, the anchor. Praise God that we've got that just by the side of us. So if you forget or drop off during the time I talk, put your eyes towards that and you'll remember what we're talking about. I just wonder how your week has been. I'm looking at faces. I'm trying to work out a little something. I hope your week has been good, and I hope that you've experienced God's mission in your life, because we're all missioners. We all have the ability to spread the word of God and to build the kingdom. This morning, as I was reading in Hebrews 6, I was reminded of the great anchor that we have in the moments of our life where we really need to be held steady and sure and steadfast. And I don't know about you, but I've needed that a lot, particularly actually in the past week. But picking up on part of the way through verse 18, the one before this verse, I'm just going to read this scripture. If you want to turn to your Bibles, it's Hebrew verse 18. So it's 6:18. And imagine yourself where it says we. Hebrews is at the back of the Bible. We who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now that's quite a complex thing to really understand. But we know that Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, will never leave us or forsake us. He will remain the anchor, steadfast in our life. How many of you have ever been to Greenwich Museum and seen the size of the anchors in the gardens down there? Yes, you have, Dave. Yes, quite a few of us have done the tourist thing. Those anchors, when I look at them, I think they are big, they are mighty, they are strong. And I know one thing. When I was it was a ferry, actually, on my honeymoon, I was stuck in Guernsey and they put the anchor down because the weather was so appalling, we couldn't travel back to Jersey, which was where we needed to be because we were flying home. But although the boat rocked and rolled, that anchor held us firm. It held us sure and it held us steadfast. And that's just how we have to remember God in our lives. So we have an anchor that is firm, solid throughout the storms of life. Just as a quick show of hands, I'm going interactive. Has anyone experienced a storm in their life? Oh, thank the Lord for that. I'm not on my own then. And it doesn't mean it will pass quickly, and it might even continue until the end of our life. But God doesn't want us to suffer for it. What it means is that we have a firm foundation, and the one to whom we hold tight has gone before us, as it says in that verse 18, has gone as a forerunner. A forerunner is the one who runs before someone and holds a place. And that he wants us to trust in him for that. We have to turn in repentance I don't know about you, I find that hard to confess regularly, but we have to repent and we have to have faith, and faith can often be a mystery. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever read David Copperfield. When I was younger, my mum decided to buy me lots of classic books and presented them to me from a jumble sale and said, read these are the books you should read. And one of them was David Copperfield. And in David Copperfield, there's a man called Mr. Micawber. And he hopes that something will turn up. Well, we have this kind of hope because we do, as human beings, hope something will turn up from time to time. And that sort of hope is the thing like, I hope it won't rain on my daughter's wedding day, or I hope my train will be on time, or I hope that my salary will cover all my outgoings this month. That's a sort of temporal hope. That's a not permanent hope, but we have got the hope that never fades, that never perishes, that will continue to be in our life. It isn't vague, it isn't changeable. The other hope is a wish without warrant, but we have the hope that is a warrant or an oath or a covenant that remains forever. St. Peter wrote in his first letter, God has given us new life with a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And St. Paul, he wrote to the Corinthians and he said, if Christ had not been raised from the dead, your faith is useless. I work in a church. If someone doesn't believe, they must think I'm a mad woman. What am I doing working for something that you can't put your hope in? So the resurrection of Jesus, say Peter and Paul, is the main ground, is the main source of our Christian hope. Why? Because it proved that Jesus was said that who he was who he really was, the Son of God, that he would be killed and that he would rise again. Can I hear a hallelujah on that? Rise again. Hallelujah. It also proves that Jesus had done what he came to do, to reconcile the world to himself. So Christ's resurrection is what we hold on to, and that is our hope. And that's what the 12 men who stuck themselves in an upper room were given. They were given a hope. They could declare that Jesus had risen from the dead. They saw him dead, then they saw him alive, and that must have changed them beyond recognition. The balance of probability was overwhelming. There's a quote I've got here from Dr. Billy Graham, who was a great evangelist and recently died at the age of 99. There is more evidence that Christ rose from the dead than there ever is that Julius Caesar ever lived or that Alexander the Great died at the age of 33. We have got so much evidence because we have the Bible and it is the truth. This evening at the church where I work at St. John's, we've got apologetics as our evening service. If we find it hard when we talk to people about our faith, come along, because this guy tonight's going to give you lots of things that you can battle with. And it is a battle at times when you talk to someone who doesn't believe. I don't know if you've ever got into those battles, but they're really hard. And sometimes your mind freezes and you can't find the right scripture. But you could always use this verse. Our hope comes as an anchor for the soul. It's immovable. Now we know that when Christ died, the curtain was ripped. And so we know we have access now to what would have been then like an inner sanctum, the very holy place. But the very holy place, it sits in our heart because Christ lives in us. We are a walking and living temple of the Lord. We carry Christ with us. We carry his light. We know we don't have to go through any high priest or any ritual, that Christ is in us. So we can offer that living hope to others. When we pray, approach God boldly. We go through the curtain, no fear. We will be welcomed. And in the book of James, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Something that's occurred to me just recently is how far away we go from God. God never changes. He's always there. He never moves away from us. But we constantly move away from him. And a lot of the time that's from guilt, feeling like we're not good enough, which is why he gives us that opportunity to tell him the things we've done wrong, to ask for his forgiveness, to keep drawing close to him. Dave inspired me when he was in hospital. I nearly said prison then. Sorry, Dave. When he was in hospital, and I'm sure a lot of us were praying, we were praying that we'd see Dave back here sitting on a seat, and look, he's here. I praise God for that. I felt as if he might have gone down into the pit, but even in the pit, God has never gone anywhere. We may have just felt, what's going on? Why can't you change this? But all the time I was praying for him, I was remembering the Psalms of David, where he went into that place where he felt, come on, Lord, show me you're here. And so he did, and he did it with Dave. And you know, that's not just about Dave, that's all of us, because he's one of our family here. And now we praise God's name that he's back with us. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask for one more hallelujah. I'll leave you alone then. Hallelujah. So if Jesus rose from the dead, we've got basis for hope. And in the end, God will make all things well. He'll make all things new, actually, which is a very interesting thought. Hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? Bit of a riddle, but I'll talk to you about that later. Hope that is seen, like I can see all of you, is not the hope that we have in Christ, basically. We have a different hope, a hope of faith. We could easily hope that this hall is renovated, and I do pray about that. And I will see it before I die, I know I will. I love this place and I want it to be a really lovely, comfortable space for all of us, which is great. We've seen something we've hoped for, but our hope goes beyond the grave. It goes to the resurrected Christ, not the one who died. Our hope is in him and we have so much to look forward to. And one day we will see all those that we love and we will all be praising God and it won't be boring. We can't even imagine what it's going to be like. So, we need to know God is close to us. We need to know we need to repent. And we need to be bold in our spirit to continually tell others about what Jesus has done in our life, given us our hope. And that also others can share in that. He loves all people. This anchor, safe and secure, is the motto of our boys' brigade. Sure and steadfast is what we wear underneath the embroidered badge. And sure and steadfast is what we remind our young people of, that Lord who is loving them every day and wants them to know him. For me, the anchor has been in my life 49 years this year in boys' brigade. And when we go to camp, we sing a particular song, which we're going to sing, are we singing it at the end, aren't we? Which is all about the anchor. Leanne knows it because she's in Boys Brigade and Girls Association as well. But the words are powerful, so please don't just sing it. Read the words, take those words in, and I'll even print you a copy of it or send it to you. They're marvellous. So I'm just going to close now, but we've got the privilege of having Babs here and he's going to come up. We're going to have a chance to pray for him. But as I close, I'm going to read from Romans 5:8. My encouragement this morning is to hold on to the right rope, because we can hold on to the wrong ropes and they will only take us to a place that is not of the Lord. But hold on to that storm cord that attaches from our heart to God, which is the one that we've heard about in the scripture. We have a God who does not change and who deeply loves us. and is so clearly displayed in Christ. Mike, you've got your Bible open. Would you read Romans 5:8 for us if I bring this? Oh, you're coming up.
But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
So, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait until we were good. So we have to repay him by holding on to our love of Christ.